welcome to Sabbath services, everyone. Appreciate being here in good old Hollister in beautiful sunshine at 21, 22 degrees Celsius. That's Canadian, eh? Because where we were from, when we left, it was about 7 degrees Celsius. Ooh. So a little cooler. Good trip down. The highway was not congested until we got to around San Jose. And then just craziness. But a lot of cars on the highway, so there's a lot of activity. A lot of big trucks, so that, I don't know what that says for your economy. It doesn't say much for ours because it was mentioned earlier by Gene, our dollar's at roughly 80 cents U.S. right now. So to get $200 U.S. costs 260 Canadian right now. So it's a little expensive for people to come down this way. So just that's a little bit of background. What I want to talk about today, if you want a title, it's called Anchored in Christ. And currently, three things stand out in my mind. I'm a techie guy. I look after computers for an insurance company, 134 users, and IP phones and that. And so I use the web a lot. At home, we do not have cable vision. We cut it off. We cut the cable. And so we use internet, and I get my news from about 6 or 7 newspapers on the web. Some Canadian, some American. Fox News, one of them. Huffington Post is another wild source because they have stuff from the UK as well as Canada as well as the United States, so you can compare stories. Most of it is managed news. Okay, we know where you get really the whole truth other than from the Word of God. So. But the three things stand out right now in the last couple of months. One of them is they're focused on finding new worlds out there. They found that what they call a super Earth, and they speculate like crazy about it. It could be this, and it could what if, and they call it science, but it's not science. It's not science at all. It's speculation. Science is when you make a hypothesis. And then you go to gather data as to whether it's true or not true. If it's not true, you discard that hypothesis and come up with a new one. It's like the theory of evolution is now factual science, which is nonsense. It's still a theory. Nobody's proved anything. Right? So the second one is they're really starting to go hot and heavy again on UFOs, okay, an American official that was just resigned or left an advisor to Obama, and he said he didn't get all of the files released on UFOs. He wanted to do that to show the people what they think the truth is. And the third one is really wild. The last little while is vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. It's everywhere, and the pressure. To get a little headlines that said, we want everybody vaccinated, even the children in your precious private schools. They want to do that, right? And it's in both countries. It's not just the United States or just Canada. It's the border in a lot of ways does not exist in when it comes to things like that. So what do you do in all of this? And why are they doing all of this? And when the world goes crazy on you, okay? And it's in abandoning God, what they've done. They've abandoned God, but man needs God. He needs a replacement. So he comes up with a replacement. Let's go to Proverbs 21:2 just to start. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. And a lot of the verses I have today, you're quite familiar with. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. So man thinks what he's doing is right, but he needs God. He does not have inherent ability to govern himself. Man just does not. So Romans chapter 1. You go there, please, to Romans chapter 1. This is another familiar verse in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. There we go. The new Bible here is still got sticky pages. My old study Bible, I didn't dare bring down because the cover's off. And Romans chapter 1, we'll start in verse 20. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that were made, both his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their own reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. While professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools. Yet they don't really know they're fools. They think they're the wise ones. They need God, and so they invent alternate gods. They don't know they're doing it, but they've rejected the real God, and now they go and it could be anything. It'd be going to the gymnasium. It could be sports. It can be a politician. It can be whatever. It can be their God. But they need it because they can't. It's built into man. God built it into us. We're not just an island unto ourselves. We need help from God. Okay. So man has great difficulty in imagining a spirit being, which is why they create gods with icons and statues, and because now I can see my God in front of me, right? They can't imagine. So let's go to John chapter 3. We all know this one. John chapter 3. And it's Christ is explaining here to Nicodemus, not answering Nicodemus's question, and that's so nice about all this. The words of Christ, when people ask him questions, he just, it's almost, I remember the first time going through this many years ago, and he never answers their questions. He comes out with what he knows they need to know. So verse 8, the wind blows where it wills and you hear its sound, but you do not know the place from which it comes and the place to which it goes. So also is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. Well, up until recently with technology today, of course, with what they can do with CGI and movies and that, they can create a spirit being, sort of, and have it walk through walls. But prior to that, and even today, most people cannot imagine a spirit being or what it would be like to be a spirit being. I know all of you here have attempted to think through that, and what is it going to be like to have a body that isn't rusting out, doesn't ache, go where you will. And I personally believe that you're not going to be limited to the speed of light in travel, right? Because when you know the physics of the universe that's out there, and God created all of that, how do you get to all of those to do whatever it is we're supposed to do, which we don't know yet? Christ is going to tell us. God will have further plans for that. So imagining a spirit being is very, very difficult for man to do. Hence, he creates gods of his own that he can see, that he can manipulate. And he creates them, generally speaking, in his own image, right? And hence, they come up with aliens and worlds where beings live and all of that good thing. But why is this not possible? Why is it not possible for there to be worlds out there with human beings on it right now? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we have thus concluded that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and was raised again. He died for all. If there's other worlds out there with individuals alive on it, human beings, he'd have to go there and die for them as well. And that's not what Scripture says. So it's not possible for there to be worlds out there with human beings on it alive, according to Scripture. So it's if you don't know the Bible, it's not an obvious answer. But if you know Scripture, it's an obvious answer. And also, you don't have to turn there. It's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It does not say So God so loved many worlds. It just said the world, which is the world God created. So there's another scripture to help you. If he was available to all those other worlds, scripture would say, so God so loved all the worlds. But it doesn't. It says that, right? So in order to understand a spirit being and what it's like, faith is needed. And here's another one we're familiar with, Hebrews 11. Let's turn there, please. Hebrews 11, and if I can get it to get there without, there we go. Just verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So the faith you have that Christ is a spirit being, God is a spirit being, we're going to become spirit beings, has to be a powerful faith, because you can't see any of it. You don't know what it looks like. You have no clue about what language you're going to use or how we're going to think. But we have the faith, because we have God's Spirit and Christ's Spirit in us, that's going to be so. And you don't have to show me today. I know what's going to happen. And that's the important thing with understanding faith and true faith, that you're going to see all that when Christ returns and the resurrection occurs. So knowing this, and that's why there's all that craziness out there. It's a craziness that is out there because people are pursuing other than the true God. They're pursuing their own gods, whether it's money or fame or fortune or people or individuals or hugging trees. All of that. That's their God, going out and saving trees. That's who they're focused on. That's their whole raison d'etre. That's their life. How do we cope with all of this craziness? Let's turn to Romans. Back to Romans. Romans 12th chapter. And we have to stay anchored in Christ to do it. And we all know this. And these are some scriptures you're familiar with. Romans 12 and verse 2. And this is vital in today's world, where you're constantly bombarded by media. It's everywhere. And it's so quick. And a lot of it is now is all visual. When I grew up, it was radio. And so you could imagine things in your head from the words you heard. But you didn't see them because it was the television. Now the television, it's hard to look at it and go, is that really real? Or is that something they've cooked up with Photoshop and CGI? And that's tougher and tougher to understand, right? So Romans 12 and verse 2, do not conform yourself to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and perfect will of God. So be transformed. That is critical, and you got to work at it on a daily basis because you get bombarded daily. Every day we're being bombarded, right? Let's go to 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. And it's no chapters, just 2 John, 13 verses. And we'll start in verse 6 of 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. And this is the love of God, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment exactly as you heard from the beginning, that you might walk in it, because many deceivers have entered into the world. Those who do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, this is the spirit of the deceiver and the antichrist. So Satan is out there wanting you to have your gods, which is all inspired by him, so you're really worshiping him. And so you have to be aware that that's out there all the time. And he likes to throw darts at you, as we'll see in a minute here. Turn to Colossians, please. Colossians 9. And I think this one's another familiar. Colossians, the second chapter. There is no 9 chapters in Colossians. Colossians, the second chapter. Okay. And verse 20. Okay, Colossians 2 and verse 20. Therefore, if you have died together with Christ from the elements of the world, which you have been baptized, why are you subjecting yourselves to the decree of men as if you were living in the world? And a lot of people do that. They listen to the media. They want to go back. They want to fight. They want to fight for Christ. They want to fight for God. They want to fight for truth. And now is not the time. That's not the time to be doing this. You're not going to win doing that. You're fighting Satan and you're fighting the elements of the world, and it's just not going to work. You have to be aware that that's going on. Back to 1 John, after the epistle of 1 John. And 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. And boy, that's a tough one, because there are all kinds of enticing things in the world, from brand new shiny cars that you can get for no money down, to vacations in all kinds of places you really don't want to go. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, which is what the media, especially television, is totally focused on, appealing to your eyes, right? And the pretentious pride of physical life is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So you have to do the will of God and work at it. It's not easy. It's a day-to-day thing. We all goof every day. You're looking at prime suspect number one here. And so you have to repent on a daily basis. You have to have prayer on a daily basis to combat all the craziness that is out there. So and stay anchored in Christ. And finally, let's go to Ephesians 11. And this is one we should all be quite familiar with. Ephesians 11. And sorry, I've got the numbers. That's the list I'm listing off. It's Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 in verse 10. Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. And yet the people that are in the high places don't realize that that's what's governing them, because they can't see it. So, but it's there. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having worked out all things, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and God's word is truth, Christ is truth, commandments are truth, and the wearing the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, take up the shield of the faith, with which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And they're there every day. Thoughts in your head, things from television that come at you, and instantly sound good, and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. But you have to be aware what they are, and you compare it against what you know of the Word of God so that you can combat that. And put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here's the very important thing: praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and this very thing being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So it's important in this time of craziness. And if you see a brother or a sister that's being caught up in it in a way, you know, it's right and proper for you to point that out to them in a kind way, that you're not to be this way. Don't let it carry you away. No, you can't, become president and fix everything as a Christian. It just isn't going to work. You're going to have to wait but Christ comes, the resurrection, and we're true spirit beings, and we're going to look after things the way they're supposed to be looked after.